94.5 ESPN. WKTI and WKTI-HD Milwaukee. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
At one point, I finally said, Free, can you finish this after you put on some shorts?
She ate breakfast naked?
She didn't even want a nap.
I've had bedroom naked. I've had walk to the bathroom naked. I have never had living room naked.
Oh, it's a scene.
It's like you're living in the Playboy Mansion.
So, nakedivity, or whatever the word is different to us.
So she coughed.
Coughing? Naked? It's a turnoff, man.
Everything goes with naked.
When you cough, there are thousands of unseen muscles that suddenly spring into action. It's like watching that fat guy catch a cannonball in his stomach in slow motion.
Nakedness?
Jason,
are you looking for nakedness?
I guess.
I kind of like nakedivity better.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Hey, could you actually reread that part at the bottom for me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Here's Alex Stroff and Josh DiMaggio.
Yeah, Friday morning, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio. Will Summers hanging out with you until 9 o'clock this morning. Lots to get into on this Friday morning post-MLB trade deadline. Jason Wilde will join us this hour. Craig Karmazin will join us this hour. And Josh will probably be angry and scream and kick his little legs at some point. For a guy that's up at this time every day, you are not very chipper this morning.
Well, seeing you this early can ruin anyone's day.
Right. Thanks for making me feel good about myself on a Friday. Yeah, good
that's
start.
The main factor.
Will, hold on. Will, is this a Josh-only thing, or are you also irritated to see me this early?
I'm not irritated to see you, but it's not abnormal for Josh to feel this way about seeing you in general.
In general, yes.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this morning.
It doesn't help that the Brewers did effectively nothing at the trade deadline.
Effectively nothing is probably a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. That certainly doesn't improve my mood. Had Suarez become a member of the Brewers, I think I'd be chipper for the greater part of a few weeks.
Yeah, you would have loved to see them acquire a big bat, which is, I think, without a doubt, without argument, the one thing the Brewers significantly lack this season is a big bat. So trade deadline was 5 p.m. Central yesterday, and I would debate that the bigger of the two trades that were both not very big came after the 5 p.m. deadline. That's the thing I've never understood about the MLB trade deadline is a lot of trades are reported after the deadline.
I just think deadlines spur action. Therefore, stuff gets sent into the league.
At 4:59.
Right.
Doesn't get reported until 5:20, 5:30. I mean,
correct.
I get that.
You're sorting through. I'm sure those insiders of the world have a lot of people they're hearing from. And it's like, obviously, priority one for every team is to get it to the league to make sure it passes and clears before the trade deadline. And then stuff filters through. And I also think there is a degree of how significant of a change is this to each team effectively. So something like a Shelby Miller or was it Lockbridge?
Lockridge, yes. Ridge. Brandon Lockridge, the outfielder from San Diego, yes.
That stuff, you see, Jeff Passan sees those names and goes, I'm going to report on the names people recognize first.
Yeah.
I was unaware Shelby Miller had stayed in the MLB because I know I believe he was one of the few players who did not play through the pandemic.
Should have been a Brewer.
Yes.
And he opted out of the 2020 season, and then, yeah, he returned in 2021. So let's just recap real quick where the Brewers stand post-trade deadline and the few accusations that they made prior to yesterday's deadline. So trade
acquisitions?
Acquisitions? What
you
did I say?
You said accusations.
We might accuse the Brewers of a few things. I don't think they have any actual accusations.
Acquisitions.
Okay, I said this right before we cracked the mic. I don't know how many times I do this, and I realize every time I go, yeah, boy, I'm not a morning guy. I always have energy. That's one thing about me. But
yeah, your mouth works faster than your brain.
Well, that's the case all the time, though. That's not just a morning thing.
It's just exacerbated in the morning. your synapses aren't really firing.
Yeah, I don't know what a synapse is, but I agree with you nonetheless. Move number one, Nestor Cortez, the pitcher. So they kind of had a logjam at pitcher, starting pitcher. Obviously, with the return of Brandon Woodruff, the call-up of Jacob Mizorowski the last couple of months. So Nestor Cortez has been working his way back with some minor league rehab assignments. Didn't really have a spot in the starting rotation for the Brewers.
This is by far my favorite move to get him off of the Brewers. Get him away from us.
Yeah, get him away, and you hoped you could get at least something in return. Like, I think an underrated piece that the Brewers are missing is a depth infielder. Because I don't think anybody's, you know, over the moon about Anthony Sigler and Andrew Monasterio if, God forbid, right, one of those guys gets hurt. Joey Ortiz has been bad.
More so than anything to the Brewers is I don't have to watch Nestor Cortez appear in a big game and blow it.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's to me, is the biggest advantage.
So you mentioned who they got in return. They got outfielder and occasional second baseman Brandon Lockridge, who has been playing fine in AAA for San Diego.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to see many big league at-bats, to be quite frank.
This season, he has had 88 at-bats in the major leagues. His average is .216. Five RBIs.
He's a 30-year-old who doesn't have much major league experience.
28.
We might see him very quickly here with Churio out, though.
Correct. Yeah, and that's seemingly why they made that move, is my understanding, is Churio is likely to hit the IL short-term. Nothing crazy, but we will likely see Brandon Lockridge, fill in for him over the course of the next week or two. So, okay, not sexy. I mean, that's as simply as you can put that first trade. The second trade is reported after the deadline. The Brewers ship out nothing other than cash or a player to be named later. It sounds more like it'll be the former than the latter. And they receive, let's start with the least sexy one. Left-handed pitcher Jordan Montgomery, who had Tommy John surgery in April and is going to be a free agent. So Jordan Montgomery, unless he some way, shape, or form resigns with the Brewers.
It's a salary dump.
This offseason, yes, it's a salary dump. He will not appear in a game for the Brewers. So Jordan Montgomery literally means nothing. The other guy they got is right-handed pitcher Shelby Miller, who is dealing with a strain in his arm right now. He's on the IL, but he's been good for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who they got him from. He's been their closer this season, has an ERA under 2. He's been good for them in like 30 appearances. So it's just another arm that's a little bit more fresh than maybe some of the back-end bullpen arms the Brewers currently have on their roster, and they assume they'll get him back in the next week or two. So Shelby Miller is really the only add of significance, and it's not that significant for the Brewers at the deadline. So the reaction that I've seen on the internet, and what I want to hear from you this morning on the Cardinals Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776, as well as on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, is what are you feeling this morning post-trade deadline? As the Brewers return to action later today, how are you feeling about the team that has the best record in baseball not being extreme buyers at the deadline? Joshy DiMaggio, we start with you.
It's a degrees of angry, disappointed, feeling like I fell for the old banana in the tailpipe once again. I think I'm trying to sort of direct my feelings and take into play what was said by Mark Adonazio at, I believe it was the Home Run Derby on Friday, where he talked about this team signaling to us that they are very good. The team is telling us pretty loudly that we should be trying to make it even better. Everything is on the table. What we saw this trade deadline was not everything being on the table, nor was it trying to make the team significantly better. I think it was a fairly lateral move, and I think we can point to and dissect the reasons why. But I think when you take it all in all, were those comments just positive PR to try and get us to the point of what was eventually going to be a very disappointing trade deadline for the Brewers? You have the best record in Major League Baseball. You have a team that desperately needs to try and miss and skip out and be able to get a bye from that wild card round, a thing the Brewers haven't been able to do and have fallen short in those three-game series. And we're looking at a potential of a repeat of recent history of early exits, disappointing exits, and exits, if you remember, due to lack of hitting and lack of depth of hitting. A lot of those had problems. Like, we were talking about streaks, postseason streaks, where the Brewers were unable to score runs. And some of that you can point to bad luck and things just not breaking their way. But when you have a team like you have right now and the excitement and the fervor that the city is having in the state of Wisconsin about this Brewers team, and you don't go out and even overpay or try to overpay, I think the Suarez deal was more than fair. I think there were other hitters out there, O'Hearn, Willie Castro, where you can improve in the margins, and I don't know if the Brewers even tried to improve in the margins. They weren't mentioned in any of these bigger deals that really went down.
No.
And I've seen the sentiment of, well, what was out there? There wasn't many hitters. I don't know. I don't know everything about the trade deadline, but I do know you have a very special team right now, and you can try to tell me you feel good about it, but I think all the contenders and all the teams who think they're on the verge of being very good, they went and added and got better in real ways. And I don't know if the Brewers do that. And I'm questioning the Brewers' commitment to winning a World Series.
I think that's fair. I think it's fair to be disappointed. I think it's fair to say, hey, when you look around the National League, a bunch of teams got better, including the New York Mets, including the Philadelphia Phillies, including the San Diego Padres. Right? I think those three teams specifically are teams that are in the wild card race or in division races that went out and took big swings, no pun intended. They went out and added and bolstered their roster to the point where you go, oh boy, if we see them in the playoffs, like despite our great record, I don't know if we're a better team necessarily than say the Phillies or the Mets on paper. So that part is disappointing. I agree with you. When it comes to their commitment to win a World Series, I just think similarly to as we talk about all the time with the Green Bay Packers, they don't stray from their philosophy. And I think yesterday you can go ahead and make the case that maybe it was problematic. It was a fun trade deadline. There were a lot of big names that moved. Ryan O'Hearn is a big one yesterday from the Baltimore Orioles, the first baseman. The Brewers were reportedly involved in talks about it, but they never found anything to pull the trigger on. When it comes to Suarez, Gino Suarez, who went from the Diamondbacks back to the Mariners where he came from originally, they weren't in on him. And that's a power hitter. That's a guy who can hit you a timely home run. And again, I think that's something the Brewers drastically lack at this point in their development, despite the best record in baseball or the most wins in baseball. And despite a lead in the NL Central, which is already becoming the best division in all of baseball. So I struggle, Joshy, with expectations versus what occurred. Because yes, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised one bit. And I imagine you're not either, because this is just what they do. And you know, reading quotes from Matt Arnold earlier this week in the Journal Sentinel saying, yeah, I talked to Christian Yelich and he just said he wants to go to war with the guys that are on the team and he doesn't expect this to do much. I go, okay, so it sounded like they made their mind up 3 days before the deadline, other than the minute moves they made yesterday, acquiring Brandon Lockridge, Shelby Miller, and Jordan Montgomery, who won't pitch a game for you.
Yeah, and what I don't understand is no one on the major league roster really would have needed to be moved. Sure, Caleb Durbin and Joey Ortiz might see a few less at bats if you add a big power and like you have to do shuffling around of the infield. I just think when you boil it down, I can't help but think back to the comments that the Brewers claim were taken out of context. I have a hard time actually believing that, of the fun and entertainment and passion discussed about what's the job. I think the Brewers prioritize profitability and they prioritize trying to remain in the mix more than they care about actually bringing home a World Series. And I think this is yet another instance where you think, wow, this pitching staff is special.
Sure is.
We thought that back in the Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff heyday of the same thing. And there was similar inactivity at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And then that split up and it took years to get back to probably a similar place now as we look at the Brewers and their pitching staff. And this team's even better than those teams. And this still wasn't enough for the Brewers to push the chips to the middle of the table. Their farm system is absolutely stocked. if this isn't enough for you to push a few of those things away and sacrifice a little bit of the future to get better in the now, then what is that point?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the line of this team is good enough to win a World Series and we're going to sacrifice a little bit of our future to really go after a World Series?
Yeah, I mean, I saw you tweeted the quote from Matt Arnold yesterday when he met with the reporters following the deadline, and it was, you know, just to summarize what he said, it was, I view my job as keeping this team in contention for years to come, and that's how they view the farm system. It's just how they view it. And while you and I agree, right, I think yesterday of every trade deadline over the course of the last 7 years where this team has been in the mix, yesterday was the trade deadline to go all in.
Yes.
Given what this team has done this season, and to your point on the pitching, I believe it's the best it's been ever, right?
I also think going all in and sacrificing some prospects, you still have one of the better farm systems.
Yes, correct.
With if you were to give up some of those assets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still getting better, and there's still ways in the future to stock that back up.
The good news for you is they have Andrew Vaughn on their team. They're fine.
The good news for me is I no longer have to live and die by what happens throughout the rest of the season.
What do you mean?
I'm closer to apathy than I am to feeling like this is a real World Series team.
What changed?
Lack of commitment from the front office.
Yeah, but again, Joshy, I understand the disappointment, but the expectation was not this was a team that was going to make a major splash at the deadline. Nobody expected that. And if you did, I think that's on you.
I think that you can say that all you want, and I think that's protecting your feelings, and I think Brewers fans are really good at that because they've gotten so used to protecting themselves. The defeatism that comes with being small market and having less to spend and all of that, I think they're... If this was not the time, when is the time?
I hear you on that because I think this was as good of a time as any. But regardless of what they did or did not do at the trade deadline, they are still the best team in baseball, and they have proven that through over 100 games. So to sit here and say, well, yeah, they didn't add a bat, so they're not a World Series contender anymore, I think that's ridiculous. I still think they are one of, if not the best team in baseball.
You can think as you please. I think when it comes to playoff baseball and the difference one bat can make and one guy making a big hit, I know we love Andrew Vaughn. I know he's been incredible. He's not going to have more RBIs than games played through the rest of the season. That's just not how it goes. These guys aren't... You've
been saying that for 3 weeks.
Well, let's wait. Let's see.
I mean, overall,
is he going to be Barry Bonds for the rest of the season?
Maybe Andrew Vaughn will be a 7-time MVP. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Who am I to say?
I'm not... My hopes have significantly shrank.
I love that you're riding the roller coaster of being a sports fan, but I think you've ridden a much bigger roller coaster over the course of the last 24 hours than necessary. This is still the best team in baseball.
Sure, you could say that. They're one injury away from Oliver Dunn having to be a contributor.
I understand the concern there.
They have a pitching staff right now that we're monitoring their innings pitched.
Yeah, because they want to compete in October.
Right, and are they going to be able to contribute enough consistently through the course of the season to maintain the best record in baseball, win the NL Central, and have a serious playoff contender?
Yes.
The Cubs are going to win the NL Central. That's where I'm at right now.
No, they won't. No, they won't.
You're basing that on...
I believe the Brewers are a better team. The Cubs didn't upgrade significantly at the deadline.
You realize what you're doing here is the team that's been better the majority of the season thus far,
yep,
the Cubs,
yep,
is now no longer better because of what you've seen in the past few weeks.
That is correct. The standings indicate that, yes.
Good luck.
Thanks. I don't know that they need it. I think they're that good.
You're going to need it.
I'm not going to need it.
Yes, you will.
This team is that good. Just because they didn't add Ryan O'Hearn, who, granted, unless you're a seam head, you probably didn't know who that was until this week, at the deadline. I don't think anything has changed. The Cubs didn't get significantly better yesterday.
They're a better team.
On paper, sure.
If you look in the metrics.
But what I saw this week, the Brewers are a better team.
And if you zero into the past month, you can make the case for the Brewers.
If you zero in on the entirety of the season,
the story changes.
Yeah, when you start 0-4, that certainly doesn't help your case.
It's not 0-4. It's a bigger.
It was the first month, right? We've had what, 4 months of baseball, 3 months of baseball. The last two, they've been great.
Right, but the first four games can't affect the other 70 games played to the degree you believe they do.
All right, we're running way late. We'll continue this conversation throughout this morning. If you want to get in on it, get in on it. Carbo's talking text line, 800-990-3776. I see a bunch of your texts. We will get to those in a bit. A lot of people saying Josh has been way too negative this morning, which I agree with. It's the best team in baseball.
Sure, we'll see.
Jason Wilde joins us next to talk all things Green Bay Packers training camp. That's coming up next. Jen Gabe and Chewy, Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you on this Friday morning on ESPN Milwaukee.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros in Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Friday morning, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you. The Mr. Relevant crew hanging out with you on this Friday morning. What?
Nothing.
I just slipped up, Josh. Let me live.
Jason, I didn't say anything.
Jason Wilde, the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, co-host Wilde and Tausch, joins us now on the heels of, I think it was Packers practice 7 yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Family night coming up tomorrow in Lambeau Field. Good morning, Jason.
What day is today? Friday?
All right, Josh, you got it from here.
Jason, talk to me about the Ball King.
Oh, I'm working on my story. Not right now. Right now, I'm picking up dog poop as I walk the dogs. Yeah, this is, you guys know me well enough to know that this is the kind of stuff I absolutely love. And so I talked to a bunch of guys about it yesterday, and I'm going to write it today on Channel 3000. But this is, like, again, making guys run a lap, maybe a little high schoolish, right? But this endeavor, I think, is great because it allows you to emphasize something, and we all know the old NFL saying, you get what you emphasize, but do it in a creative way. And so basically the Packers' defensive goal for this year is to increase their number of takeaways, especially by forcing more fumbles. They had 17 interceptions that they had. They had 14 fumbles. So they finished with 31 takeaways last year. That was good for fourth in the league. So it's not like they stink at takeaways. But Jeff Hafley made it his goal to increase that number of fumbles. And so he came up with the idea of, and they've always emphasized the ball. I wrote last year about their ball meetings, which would be on both sides of the ball about, you know, what are you doing to protect possession and what are you doing to force takeaways? Well, this is Wendell Davis, who has been their quality control assistant for 6 years. I mean, he's been basically on the staff with three different coordinators at this point, is in charge of it, and they've called him the Ball King. And he runs a meeting every day before practice. And my favorite part of this is that they have installed a red light and siren in the meeting room. And so, and I think it's the same, based on the imitation that Evan Williams did for me yesterday while I was talking to Xavier McKinney, I believe it's the same one that we have a hotkey for, where it goes, bah, 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 bah. I knew Will the Thrill was going to be on top of that. I believe that's exactly it. And so they show video before every practice of guys that are qualifying by either breaking up a pass or forcing a fumble. And there's a point system. There are three teams Rashawn Gary's the captain of one. X is the captain of one. And I forget who the third one is. I have it written down somewhere. But they're keeping score, and it's competitive, and it's creative, and I love it. And so, and the guy, and more importantly than me loving the story, the guys are totally into it. Like, you know, from my time doing this, you can have topics that you ask them about, and you know right away that they're just sort of going through the motions and answering the questions so you get the hell away from them. That ain't this. They are, I mean, they could have talked all day long about the Ball King, and I was talking to Rashawn Gary about it, and it's true. They call Wendell Davis the Ball King, and Rashawn Gary said, anytime I see him in the building, he's BK or the Ball King. If I see him outside the building, that's the only time I call him Wendell anymore. So he is in charge of the whole operation, and it has captured the defense's imagination throughout camp.
Love that. That is training camp epitomized. Jason Wilde with us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lucas Van Ness is a name I'm hearing a lot of from afar, Jason. And obviously the first-round pick from a few years ago has, disappointed. It's probably a fair word for him through his first two seasons. What have you seen through the first seven practices that maybe makes me as a Packers fan go, all right, LVN, I'm giving you another chance. I want to see it this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the only one who wants to see it. Certainly the Packers want to see it. And, you know, in fairness to Lucas, he wants to see it. And he has looked good. He has jumped out. He had a play a couple days ago where they sent Jaden Reed on an end around, and he just completely blew it up and threw Jaden Reed to the ground, which I'm not sure he was supposed to do, but anyway. So he's been in the backfield a lot. There's a couple plays. I was talking to him yesterday or 2 days ago about a play that he had against Jordan Love, because I'm working on a story too about how Jordan Love's kind of superpower is his ability to make subtle movements inside the pocket to create some space to make a throw. He wants to run more this season, but that's not his forte. He's not, you know, Lamar Jackson. But Lucas was absolutely convinced that he would have had a sack under normal circumstances. And I think he's probably right on the play we were talking about. But he's been in the backfield a ton. Now, I don't want to be the party pooper, but I feel like a year ago at this time, last summer, we were talking about how Rashawn Gary was in the backfield all the time. And he was going to have this monster year. And that did not materialize. And I also think that may have coincided when he got quieter in camp with the return of Zach Tom. Now, Rashawn Gary had a pretty good day against Zach Tom yesterday. But I just want to be careful not to ratchet up expectations and hype that suddenly in year three, LVN is going to be the guy they drafted at number 13. He very well might be. He doesn't have a broken thumb. He's got a lot of things going for him, including the pressure of, hey, it's kind of put up or shut up time. But he has looked good so far, and that's as probably far as I should go at this point.
Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is a business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at LakelandSupply.com. Jason, Jordan Morgan yesterday seemed to be taking the most snaps at left tackle. They said that he was able to do that because of the return of Elgton Jenkins. How do you think he fared in his first real shot there in training camp? And do you think if there's a tie in terms of who performs better between him and Rashid Walker, they're going to give it to the young first round rookie or the guy who's done it before?
Well, I'll take the second part first, Josh. I sure as heck hope not. I don't think you want to be doing that, right? I don't think that sends a very good message that we appreciate our guys. If there's a tie, or worse yet, if it's close and Rashid has a slightly better camp, but they give it to the first round pick because they feel pressure to put him on the field, I don't like the sound of that at all. First of all, I think it was definitely good for him to get the opportunity to be out there at left tackle, because not only was Elgton Jenkins' absence part of the equation, but then Aaron Banks was missing practices because of his back. So basically all he got to play, Jordan Morgan got to play, was guard. And, you know, they had told him early in the offseason, hey, we want you to compete at left tackle. And in fairness to Jordan Morgan, before he got to the NFL, the only position he'd ever played was left tackle. Like, all of high school, all of college at Arizona. So, in some ways, it's been a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because if for some reason, you know, Rashid Walker does fend him off and is still the starting left tackle, which I still believe will be the end result, I personally think this has been great for Jordan Morgan, because he's going to be the sixth man. And no matter who gets hurt, all five guys, if somebody has to leave the game, he's going to come in. Now, if it's Elgton Jenkins at center, he's going to come in and they're going to move Sean Ryan to center, and then he'll play right guard. But otherwise, I think he's the perfect sixth man for this year. And then in 26, after they surely let Sheed walk in free agency, because that seems to be the way that's trending, then he's the starting left tackle in 26. They have a full year to decide whether they want to pick up the fifth-year option. And then he plays the 27th season as the starting left tackle. And they have either their franchise left tackle or they're looking for another one. So to me, that makes the most sense, Joshy. But again, if he clearly wins the job, he clearly wins the job. I just, you know, I'm not the drawback to doing that, too, if we're being honest, is that Rashid Walker doesn't have the positional flexibility that Jordan Morgan has shown. If he wins the job, their sixth man is about three different people, right? It's Jacob Monk at center. It's going to be someone else at guard. And then Sheed's going to be the swing tackle.
More stuff from training camp ahead of tomorrow's family night coming up at 9 o'clock on Wilde and Tausch with our buddy, Jason Wilde, the 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Thanks, Jason. Say happy birthday to Matthew Golden from us.
I will pass that along. I do have a programming note, just so people know. Wilde and Tausch will not be your program coming up next. It'll be Jim, Matt, and Molly, as I believe they're at Camp Randall today for this really cool thing where you can, like, hit golf balls in Camp Randall.
Oh, yeah, they did that at NFM Field last year. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to join them a couple of times during their program. But if you haven't listened to the gold medalist Matt Hamilton and the great Molly Brown and the other guy, Jim something, you definitely want to check that out. And like I said, I think I'm going to join them at 9:30 before we talk to LaFleur, and then again at 11:30 from practice. So just a quick scheduling note in case you're tuning in, especially the folks in the YouTube comments that want to complain about the show, which I appreciate them watching, even if they don't really like it.
Only a few complaints on Joshy's attitude towards the Brewers this morning.
I've drawn some ire.
On the YouTube chat. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That is the great Jason Wilde. 9:30, 11:30 on Wilde and Tausch with Jim, Matt, and Molly. This morning, family night coming up tomorrow, which, by the way, you can stream online, and it'll be, if you're in Green Bay, you can watch it on Channel 32 in Green Bay as well. I don't know why I know that. I just do. Figured I'd pass it along.
A lot of programming notes happening here.
Programming note. Craig Karmazin, sometimes co-host of mine on Sunday Karma, joins us. Coming up next, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday morning.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN. It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. Hold on. Bring up championship. We don't even need championship.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
What?
Yeah. Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thankfully, the reinforcements are here. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you on this Friday morning. Our buddy Craig Karmazin joins us now, sometimes co-host of Sunday Karma. Good morning, Craig.
Morning. So in the open, they had a little clip from last week when I was saying, like, has any market where there's only one team in each sport been as consistently good as Wisconsin? And Jen actually sent me 30 minutes ago, Wisconsin is the only sport since 2020 to have three teams with a top five record.
I think
Bucks have the second best record in the NBA. Brewers have the third best record in baseball, and the Packers are fourth in the NFL. Actually, it's flipped. Packers third, Brewers fourth.
And a lack of championships to show for it outside of the Bucs.
So say, I feel like we have to do our part of Chewy here and say a lot of those teams have championships. Besides the Bucs, the other two are looking for it.
Yeah, you guys are annoying.
Thank you, Craig. Good to hear from you as well. So Josh has been annoying this morning following the MLB trade deadline and the Brewers' lack of significant activity yesterday. He's like out on them as a championship contender now, Craig. I need some help here.
So the crazy thing is, if you look at the odds right now, the Brewers have the best record in Major League Baseball and have the 10th best odds to win the World Series. I mean, that's crazy, right?
That's pretty easy, though. If that would tell you Vegas thinks that the run the Brewers on are a little bit not realistic and that the best record in baseball probably isn't indicative of quite how good the team actually is.
Right. I know. But, I mean, the Mariners, so the Brewers were ninth, and I was like, I haven't checked in a week. I'll see if they've moved up, you know, as they're consistently being the best team in Major League Baseball. And the Mariners, with their trades, have actually surpassed the Brewers. So they went from having the ninth best odds to the 10th best odds now, which I don't know what those really mean ultimately, because I think, again, we've seen teams in baseball win the World Series who were not the Dodgers and who were not the teams that were the overwhelming favorites. And I think the Brewers made a smart move to get another backup catcher. I'll say that. Why are you laughing?
What's his name, Craig?
Danny Jansen.
Good job. Yeah, Appleton West product.
He was the biggest free agent signing. Like I was talking about this like last offseason, how crazy baseball is. Because Jansen, I think, got the biggest dollars for any like catcher in the offseason. And, you know, once and that's like the same as what Contreras makes. But anyway, when you look at how deep the Brewers are across the board, like if Churio goes on the injured list, you know, it's not going to be a long time, hopefully. But like, I think this team is deep enough where right now, I think we feel like this team can handle most things that are going to come at it.
When you say that, you just mean you're confident enough in Matt Arnold? And because I was talking about how we're not far from a possible appearance of Andrew Monasterio and Oliver Dunn having to make serious contributions to the team. I think that's a big problem, especially in the postseason. When the postseason,
it's a big problem in the postseason. I agree in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying if you need 2 weeks, right? And we've seen it, right? Where Yelly got hurt last year. And obviously that's going to impact, you know, what you can do in the postseason if one of your two or three big bats is out, because this team doesn't have that many big bats. But I think what we're saying here is the big acquisitions for the Brewers this year were Woody, Miz, and Andrew Vaughn. And just because they didn't happen at the trade deadline didn't mean they didn't happen.
Craig, do you think the Brewers are committed to winning a World Series?
I'm pausing because my answer is yes, but I think it's because they believe, similar to the Packers, that their best chance to win the World Series is to give themselves as many chances to win the World Series. And it's a little different theory than the Bucks, right? The Bucks seemingly go all in every year, right? Like even this year where the Bucks, you know, the Bucks had their hands tied and there was no chance the Bucks could make a move. They still somehow made the move and, you know, waved Dame Lillard and stretched him and pulled out Miles Turner and got the number one free agent in the NBA this year in a year that the Bucks didn't even have any like free agent room. They still got the top free agent in the NBA. Like, that's the Bucks. The Packers and the Brewers do it the opposite way, right? The Packers and Brewers are like, we're going to every year put ourselves in the tournament and know that then we have a chance. So I think they believe, and their analytics people believe, that that is the single best way to try to win it all, is not to go all in one year, but to put yourself where you have a chance to do it every year.
Which approach do you think is better?
I think for the NBA, the Bucks version is better. because I don't think you, outside of the Dallas Mavericks, you know, when they beat the Heat, you know, in that championship, there aren't a lot of championships where it's just like, yeah, you kept the team together and they didn't seem like a championship team, but all of a sudden they just became a championship team. I think in the NFL, where the salary cap is so malleable, like, I think the Packers over time should have been more aggressive in getting some more weapons. But in baseball, I don't know. I tend to think the Brewers are doing it the right way. I think we've just seen bad luck, right? Like, we still don't know what would have happened last year had Devin Williams gotten through the ninth inning. Like, I just think the Brewers have had bad postseason luck. And I think the way this team is constructed with their offense, with their base running, with their defense, like, I think this team can beat anybody in the postseason.
Craig Karmazin with us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Stroph, Josh DiMaggio in. I don't know. I think the Brewers have been proven correct, at least by the approach they're taking by the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks in recent years, where you don't necessarily need to go all in at the deadline.
Well, the Rangers spent a lot of money, though. So the Rangers were a little different there.
They spent more money than the Brewers, but so does just about every other team in the MLB. I still think, were they even in the top 10 for payroll that year? I'm not certain they were.
I think the Rangers were. I think they did spend a surprising amount. You know, and but you're right, right? Like, teams like the Diamondbacks, and, you know, you could rattle them off in baseball. The Rays have been there. Yeah. You know, I just think the proof is in how good this team has been this year. And the fact that two of their three best pitchers, maybe right now, I think you could argue their two best pitchers, are guys who are just joining the team, right? Who pitched, had less than 10 starts. So you look at what the upside of this team is, I don't even think we've seen it yet.
So you are still a believer World Series good?
Oh, yeah. How could you not be right now?
Ask Josh question, not me.
Because I've seen this. I've seen before what it takes to win a World Series and the amount of bats and the amount of talent you need to get over. No one's ever looked at the Dodgers, and the Dodgers never looked at their lineup and said, you know what? We're good enough. Mm-hmm. We're not going to try and get better. And I think the Brewers have a good team, have a team that will be competitive. But when it comes to the World Series, I don't believe they are going to have the pieces to, in a seven-game series, consistently beat teams with larger payrolls and bigger top-end talent.
So, I mean, if you get to the World Series and you see the Mariners, you're saying this team's not capable of being the Mariners? Or you're saying they're not capable of getting to the World Series?
I don't think they're capable of getting to the World Series.
Despite how good the pitching staff is.
Despite how good the pitching staff is. Because we saw a team similar in 2018.
Yeah.
Who ran into a buzzsaw, and when it came down to the finer things of a playoff series against a team with stacked lineups, stacked pitching staffs, you end up falling short because the guys you have are good, not great. And great players win championships.
Well, thank God they have Andrew Vaughn.
The idea that the Dodgers added Manny Machado that year, like, I think he is the person we all remember from that series, right? And he was like a late addition. So I'm not saying it doesn't help to be able to add, you know, world-class MVP caliber players. But, and I'm not also saying that the Brewers are the favorites, but I mean, you can't argue with the fact that over 100 games in, they have the best record in baseball.
No, of course you can't. That's the actual numbers. But I think the fact that Vegas is telling us this team has the 10th best odds, they're not just basing that off of vibes. They're basing that off of metrics and numbers and vibes and probability. Like, I tend to agree with
the
experts.
If the Brewers had added Suarez, right?
Yes.
And went up to, what, the 8th best odds then? Would you have felt a ton better?
A ton better. Yes. Yeah. Because in a playoff series, are you bringing Suarez to pinch hit because he's not playing via matchups? Or are you bringing up Monasterio or Siegler? Who's going to make a bigger impact?
You're not like, the Brewers have guys who you feel like can come in off the bench and be great pinch runners or great defensive replacements. You don't have anyone off the bench who you're like, okay, this guy is going to get you a big hit, right? I think that's the thing you can.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Brewers roster. Yeah.
Yes. And I think the way they play baseball,
they'd be starting.
Right. I think they're. It's a credit to Pat Murphy and Matt Arnold that they get the most out of the guys they have there. I don't believe the guys there's most is a World Series.
And I think like if the odds, I mean, the analytics show that you're right. And I think you look at the Dodgers and you'd say like, okay, like that team is going to beat the Brewers in a 5-game series or a 7-game series. But you know what? The Brewers just beat them 6 games in a row. So I don't think you can just look at it that way.
Analytics guy, Craig Karmazin, by the way.
I think that's fine. I think the regular season's different, and I think things can change, and I think teams get healthier, mm-hmm. and health will matter in that. And in any given series, anyone can win, and there is a degree of that. But I think doing that, the amount of series you need to do, that the Brewers will end up falling short to those better teams.
Yeah, and you look at a team like you brought up the Diamondbacks from a few years ago, right? And that team like grew into just an offensive juggernaut. Mm-hmm. So they're built a little different and they had good pitching, but we saw back-to-back years, right? Because the Brewers played against them. Teams like the Braves, teams like the Diamondbacks, if your pitchers are pitching well, you can go to the World Series and even win it like the Braves did.
And hopefully that is the case for the Milwaukee Brewers. Craig Karmazin, are we hearing you Sunday? Are you here on Sunday?
I am. You know what? I land in Milwaukee at like 10:30 now. I don't think so. I can't make it. But the following, after that, I am all Sunday karma all the time.
Yeah,
after this week.
I totally believe you. All right. I guess I'll hold down the fort on Sunday by my lonesome yet again. Craig Karmazin, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I would say you can hear him Sunday from 10 to noon, but I guess I could plug myself, I guess. You can hear me 10 to noon this Sunday without Craig Karmazin.
I look forward to the continued programming updates.
I actually think we're done now. Jason Wilde gave us one. I had to figure it out with Craig because I never know. You can't blame me for that.
Do you think we've done an adequate job of updating the programming notes on the program we're on?
What programming note? No Jen, no Gabe, no Chewy?
No, the one that you and I appear on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do this again at 12:30, the three of us.
So if you want to get mad at me again, you have a chance to on YouTube from 12:30 to 1:30.
Well, the good news for us is we still have another hour left to do that. So my goal in the 8 o'clock hour, programming notes, self-promotion.
Yes.
This hour, others can promote their programs. But also, we're going to dive into whether or not Josh DiMaggio is happy. That's next. I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. Friday morning, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you. Mr. Irrelevant takeover of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. You can catch Mr. Irrelevant each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, beginning at 12:30 ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. And, of course, the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download wherever you get your apps. Joshy, we'll get back to the Brewers in a moment. I just want to kind of check on your general state. Are you happy?
In life?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm adequately happy. I also think I take a realist approach to the world.
Okay.
I'm a little unhappier than usual today because of the inactivity at the trade deadline. But once that has, you know, by the middle of the day today, it'll probably go down a little bit. I think I have a job here to give my opinion, regardless of how people feel about it. I think I approach it from a manner of how I'm feeling. And I know I'm not alone in those feelings.
No.
maybe it seems like it.
I would just say, I arrived at 6:30 this morning,
uh-huh.
which is early for me. I'm not a morning guy, as we've established on the show many times before.
You make sure to keep reminding us.
But boy, do I arrive chipper.
Yeah.
I come in like a bat out of hell, singing, dancing, ready to go for the day. And you just seem miserable.
Well, I have to be your governor.
What's that supposed to
be? I have to bring you down to the real world. I have to hone in. You come in with a lot of ideas. They frankly aren't that great.
Oh, wow.
A lot of times we can build off of them, But a lot of your best ideas
are
let me talk about Alex Stroh.
Yeah.
And I try and make that palatable for the audience. Because your first idea is, do you want to talk about me gambling on the preseason? To which I soundly and roundly said no. Oh, well, because no one cares.
Well, I just wanted to know if I was alone in that, I guess was more
no,
my
of
question.
Course you're not.
Like, are people gambling on the preseason actively?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page. I was so happy. Did you watch that game at all?
No.
Will, did you?
I did not.
I watched almost the entire game.
I have a life. I have things to get done.
I didn't even think of turning
it
on.
On a Thursday night? You were probably asleep.
No, I was doing errands. Doing chores around the house. Things.
Chores, you know? Around the house?
Yeah.
Like what?
I vacuumed.
Oh, okay. How often do you do that?
Once or twice a week, depending on how bad it gets.
Your dog sheds, huh?
Yes, I did the dishes.
I did the dishes, too.
I took out all the recycling.
Well, there's this wild concept of TV near your kitchen.
I do not have one near my kitchen. Sometimes life takes precedent. The Hall of Fame game, in terms of games...
should take precedent.
No, no.
Football's back.
We watched Trey Lance throw more passes yesterday than he has since he's been in high school.
That's correct.
And that was in one single preseason game.
What about
and
college?
I'm talking about seasons.
He's never thrown that many passes?
No.
Huh. All right. We will get back to the Brewers. Plenty of reaction on the Cardinals talk and text line. It's your chance to get in right now. 800-990-3776. How you feeling? Day after the MLB trade deadline. We will continue to discuss that coming up next. So let's talk a little Packers and wrap up the week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All still ahead. An hour left. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues right after this.